insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hi, I'm Patrick Madrid. I'm here for my 8 a.m. appointment. Well, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Central, 6 a.m. Pacific. I'm here ready to go. So I'll just sign my name on the clipboard and wait till you're ready to call me, 888-914-9149. I have lines open right now. So for all of you who say, man, I call and call and call and I can't get in and I never get in, so now's your chance, 888-914-9149. Emails, of course, can go to patrick@relevantradio.com. I just ran across a little tidbit of news in the last, 15 minutes or so. And this is that, remember that bridge collapse in Baltimore? How could you forget that, right? A barge apparently lost power at the last minute and it just drifted or steered, we don't know yet, directly into one of the pylons that holds up this gigantic bridge that spans the opening to the port of Baltimore. And I just saw this morning being reported that the FBI has opened a criminal investigation. So it's taken a turn. So here's what it says in the article. We'll get this posted if you're interested. The FBI has boarded the cargo ship Dolly amidst reports that they've launched a criminal investigation into the Baltimore Bridge collapse. The FBI is conducting court-authorized law enforcement activity, according to an FBI representative. The Washington Post reported this morning that the FBI has opened this investigation to see whether the crew of the Dolly left the port knowing the vessel had systems problems. Authorities are reportedly reviewing the events leading up to when the Dolly slammed into one of the Francis Scott Key Bridge's support pillars. There's no other publicly available information yet, and FBI is not giving any further comment yet. We'll see about that. So no mention of anything like terrorism or anything like that. I'm sure a lot of people wondered. I wondered about that. Is this an accident or what is this? But this is the most recent development. Now, in concert with that, or perhaps there's no connection. I hope there's no connection, but a bunch of barges were unmoored on the Ohio River over the weekend. And they, too, were careening out of control down the Ohio River. And there was a real concern, as you can imagine, that they might collapse yet another bridge or two or three. So thankfully, they were able to corral those. But how often, Cyrus, I mean, how often do you hear about bridges collapsing or barges just all of a sudden going haywire and knocking into bridges? I don't remember hearing about that much in my lifetime. How about you?
This is a first. Yeah, it's concerning, and it's interesting that the FBI is choosing now to consider this a criminal investigation. The crime scene's over 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
If it is a crime scene.
That's right. Whenever I see some news reports and they say, you know, the alleged gunman or the alleged murderer, and in some cases when you actually have footage of the person committing the crime, and yet everybody's so, I guess it's, you know, you're presumed innocence until proven guilty. But I would think that, assuming it's not a deepfake, I would assume that a bank video of you robbing the bank would be pretty indicative of guilt. Anyway, so we don't know if it's a crime scene yet, but the FBI is going to find out. So we'll find out about that when the time comes.
Yeah, the barge allegedly crashed into the Baltimore Bridge, destroying it.
The alleged barge that allegedly crashed into the alleged bridge, causing the alleged damage.
Now you're safe.
Not to mention the deaths of, I don't know if we have a final count now. Was it four people, five people?
Oh, that's a good question.
Who died? I mean, I know there were construction workers who were on the bridge. I was watching that video when it first happened and just waiting for the bridge to collapse, and one truck would go over, another truck would go over, and whatever the last truck was, shortly after it passed over that span of the bridge and then it collapsed, I thought, man, that guy's got a story to tell for the rest of his life. You know, I was the last vehicle to make it over the bridge before it collapsed.
Well, just for your to know file, this is sad. It did. Six men lost their lives.
Oh, was it six? May they rest in peace. Yeah, that is sad. So I don't mean to bring you any, you know, sad news first thing out of the gate on a Monday morning, but this is a new twist in this story that people are concerned about. And so there we have it. We'll keep you updated as things develop. 888-914-9149. We have a quick email here. This is from Lee asking about, and Lee's listening in, I'll just say in the Midwest, asking about the Alpha program in Catholic parishes. And Lee says, my Catholic parish has decided to use Alpha as an evangelization tool. It's a series of talks. He goes on to explain to me what it is. I'm very familiar with Alpha, so I'll come back to that in a moment. He says, we're currently in the beginning stages of learning how to run the Alpha course in our parish. Although I love the fellowship and the friendships that the course has created, I'm disheartened that we are not allowed to share our Catholic faith because we've been warned that it could turn non-Catholics away. Do you think the Catholic Church should use Alpha as an evangelization tool? And then Lee is kind enough to provide me with several different links for the Alpha program. I'm very familiar with this program, so I don't need the links, but I appreciate you sending them. I remember, I think if I recall correctly, I was still working at Catholic Answers back in those days, which would have been, let's see, I started working there January of 88, and by January of 96, I had gone on my own at that point. So it must have been in the early 90s that somebody sent me the course materials, someone I knew in London or something, and Nikki Gumbel, I forget which, I believe was the Church of England priest who pioneered the Alpha program. And at that time, it hadn't come to the U.S. yet, as far as I knew, and it was becoming more and more popular in the U.K. So this person sent me a batch of the materials and asked me for comments. So I went through them and read them. And my comment was, the overriding comment that I had was, it talks a lot about the church, the church, the church, the church, but it doesn't really define it. It doesn't define it at all. The church has authority. The church says this. The church says that. Now, naturally, I don't recognize, quote unquote, the church as the Church of England, but I don't think that the author of the Alpha program intended it to be that restrictive to the Church of England. So my question rhetorically was, well, then which church is he talking about? I mean, if you say the church has authority or the church said this or the church said that, it would be helpful in short form to identify what church that is. And I think that to me was the singular flaw of the Alpha program. It is good insofar as it talks about basic issues like we're all sinners, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he wants us to be saved, Jesus wants us to believe in him and repent and the story of the resurrection and all the things that are basic, like super basic building blocks. That's all good. But it didn't really go anywhere because there was no, at least in those days, the materials didn't really focus, for example, on the Holy Eucharist or the necessity of baptism, things of that nature. So I came away from my review of the documents in the early 90s thinking that this is deficient and not really helpful because it doesn't address key issues of the gospel that are part of any presentation of who Jesus is and what he did and what he left for us in the aftermath. And that was my take on it. It still is my take on it, but I have in the meantime encountered priests who have said, I've used the Alpha program in my parish and it's very effective. And what I've done is I've added the Catholic stuff in so that even though it's not part of it, and I know there is a Catholic Alpha version. You don't have to send me an email to tell me there's a Catholic Alpha. I know that. I'm very familiar with it. I just want to save you the time and energy. And so that's where the people promoting Alpha have made a crossover view. I was even talking to one bishop about it, who some years ago, maybe, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, was saying, well, you know, please don't say anything negative about Alpha because we're using it in our diocese and it's good. And I talked to that same bishop a few years later, and he said, yeah, we scrapped it. You know, we decided that we wouldn't continue using it. We're on to something better now, which is good. So personally speaking, assuming that the Alpha program is as insipid as it was before, I don't think it's a program that's going to do a whole lot of good. I mean, to the extent that it gives people basics, that's good. But but they need more than the basics. St. Paul said, right now you can only have milk because you're infant Christians. And as you get older, you'll be able to accommodate meat, the more difficult things. And that's true. So we take things in proper order and we don't try to rush people into the more difficult or, let's say, hard to understand doctrines. But eventually they need that too. That's part of the whole gospel. So that's my take on it. And we'll see if maybe it develops over time. In the meantime, though, get your parish to listen to relevant radio. It's the easiest thing to do. If you want to become a parish ambassador, I mean, you could completely obviate the need for a program like Alpha or some Catholic version thereof. If everybody in the parish would listen to relevant radio for at least a few minutes a day, think about it, Father McGillicuddy. Just imagine if you were promoting relevant radio in your parish. You know, we're not asking you to spend any money. We're not asking you to cut into the parish budget or anything like that. We'll supply posters and bumper stickers and printed materials at our cost. But if you, as pastor, were promoting to everybody, listen to relevant radio, think of how much easier your job would become. Because we can force multiply. You're in the pulpit for 10, 15 minutes on Sunday at Mass to preach to the people. You administer the sacraments. You help with bereavement. You're a busy guy at a Catholic parish. And yet there are a lot of people who would love more. And I can understand if you're maxed out, you're maxed out. What can you do? So let us be a force multiplier. Promote relevant radio. It's free. Everybody can listen whenever they want, on their way to work, on the way to take the kids to school. And we can help catechize your people.
That's almost ingenious right there.
You know what I'm saying? I think it is. It's, of course, not my original idea. But that's a great way to, you know, it's like the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, relevant radio every day will keep the alpha away or something like that. You won't need it. Because your people are going to be at a higher level than just the basics.
Yes.
So check it out. Cyrus is excited. Cyrus, this is a Monday morning. You've got all those flashing lights and pretty buttons to play with this morning.
It's all in the reflexes.
That's right. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Therese in Minnesota. Hi, Therese.
Hi. I just had a quick question about what a Catholic life should do in to live in line with the doctrine of the church when her husband is not open to NFP because it's not because he has he wants to use contraception. It's just okay. Because he doesn't think we need it. The Bible tells us that we're not supposed to deny our spouse the marital act, but also that the marital act should always be open to life. So what do you do when you have a less than 1-year-old, a 1-year-old, and a 2-year-old, and you're not ready for another one, but your spouse still wants their marital right?
Yes. Oh, boy. So I'm assuming you're the spouse. You're the wife in this situation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm not at all surprised that you have this feeling. In fact, I can readily understand why you would feel overwhelmed and tired, and I'm just not ready. I totally understand it. And husbands should understand it as best they can. They're not feeling it themselves. I mean, they don't feel the sense of being overwhelmed and all of the above. So this is where this whole issue of the marriage debt has to be brought into focus. The marriage debt is, as it's talked about, is the reality that in marriage, both the husband and the wife have a right to conjugal intimacy, as you already know. I'm not saying anything you don't already know, but for those listening, you have a right to it, but it's not an unrestricted, absolute right. And that's the part that maybe is being lost in translation here, is that given the circumstances, you've got 3 little ones under 3. Your oldest is 2, is that right?
Yeah, not okay. Even, like, just turned 2.
Yeah, so you've got 3 kids under, 2 and under, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were talking to your husband, and I'd be happy to, if you would like to call in, I'd be happy to talk to him. But I would say this. Right now, I understand, I know what it's like to be a young husband. married to a young wife. I understand what you're going through, but you have to sublimate your desire for marital intimacy for as long as necessary so that your wife can recuperate. She needs a break. And so the marital debt, as I say, is not absolute. It's not, well, you know, snap your fingers, here we go. It's not like that. So he has to respect you just as you have to respect him. I mean, it's a two-way street. But in this situation, he has to recognize that for your mental and emotional well-being, your physical well-being, your ability to care for him and care for the kids and all that, you need a break. And if that break takes a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, I mean, obviously that's between you and him as a couple, but it's just part of married life. Sometimes, even though you have a right to something, you shouldn't enjoy that right because it can cause problems and difficulty, putting it lightly. So I would share that with him. I don't know how well he would receive it, but he'll look back later with regret if he pushes this issue, if he forces this issue in a way that could cause you to begin to resent him. That would be terrible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've done some talking there. What do you think?
I think I'll just have to listen to this episode on the relevant radio app in the background while I'm cooking dinner.
And he can just, he can overhear it, right?
Yeah, he always listens in.
Well, that's good. Well, I don't in any way want to exacerbate whatever tension may be there. But Nancy and I have been married 43 years. We have 11 kids. She was pregnant. She was either nursing or pregnant for, you know, as the first 20 years unfolded. So I know from experience exactly what your husband is going through. I understand it. And I had to take my own advice in those days. And it's not easy, but it's not impossible. You know, it's not impossible. And it's a way to express a deeper kind of love for you by sacrificing something he very much wants for your benefit. That kind of sacrifice builds a marriage. It strengthens a marriage. It intensifies the intimacy between the husband and the wife. So those are my thoughts, and that's what I would tell him. I would encourage him to take the road of self-sacrifice for as long as it takes, and hopefully it won't take that long. But you need a break.
Great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Are you crying? Because I didn't mean to make you cry.
No, just a little.
Okay. All right. Well, I would be very happy to chat with him. If he ever wants to call in the program, please let him know he'll be warmly welcomed, not judged. I'm just going to give encouragement. Okay?
Thank you so much, Patrick.
You're welcome, Therese. Hang in there. It's going to be okay. And you'll look back later and say, where did the time go? Man, I was busy with all those kids. And look at them. Now they're grown up having kids of their own. It's amazing. Hey, I just saw Josh walk into the studio. Hey, Josh, what's going on?
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. Monday morning, you know how it is.
Monday morning, yep, still Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Christ is risen.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thanks for letting me break in for just a second. I wanted give a quick update on the National Eucharistic Congress. You and I have spoken about this a couple times in the past, but...
Oh, yeah.
We are kind of getting to the end of a window that we have here to invite people to travel with us, to travel with Relevant Radio.
To Indianapolis.
To Indianapolis. That's exactly right. If you're unfamiliar with what the National Eucharistic Congress is, if you're listening right now and saying, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Well, the easiest way for you to find out more about it is to go to our website or go to the Relevant Radio app, and you'll see a banner there, and you can click on that, and it'll take you to a place where you can either you can learn about all the different travel options that we have, but there's also another section that will just take you to a place where you can learn more about it. But in a nutshell, it's the U.S. bishops have called for this 3-year Eucharistic revival, and this is coming at the end of the second year. And it's supposed to be a way to engage us as the faithful, to energize us so that we can then go back to our homes, our communities, our home parishes, our family, our friends. Mm-hmm. And in that third year of the revival, we kind of bring that fire that we got ignited with at the Congress, and we have that spread throughout our entire country. So I'm really excited about it. I really hope that people will attend, but this is, like I say, Patrick, kind of the last opportunity we're going to have to offer this ability to travel with Relevant Radio.
Well, I'm wondering about this because I don't keep my eyes on the numbers and signups and things like that. I'm sort of out of that loop. But does this mean, and I really don't know the answer to this question, does this mean that it's sold out or selling out? I mean, are we close to that point?
Close. So we have had hundreds of hotel rooms. We've partnered with Nativity Pilgrimages to be able to set up different customized packages that people can have because, you know, people are traveling from different locations around the country. But hundreds of rooms already claimed. We're down to less than 90 rooms left that we have for lodging. So yeah, I mean, that just kind of gives you an indication that we're watching those go quickly. And, you know, as we're talking about this even now, that's going to go even quicker. So again, if you've been thinking about it, if you've been saying, oh yeah, I want to go, I was just trying to make sure that I have kind of my schedule set for this July where the National Eucharistic Congress is going to take place in Indianapolis. Right now, this is the last opportunity we're really going to have to be able to say, yes, we have some rooms that are available. And the nice thing is, Patrick, you know this, they're right in the heart of downtown Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. They're connected to the convention center and the stadium where everything will be happening. If you don't travel with Relevant Radio, for the most part, you have to get a hotel room that's somewhere between like 30 to 60 minutes of a drive in every day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about the weather could be hot. Who wants to walk around the city streets of any city when it's hot and sweaty outside? So this way you're close by. And they have, what do they call those things that connect buildings?
Oh, like the sky bridge or skywalk.
Yeah. Yeah, they have some of those, so you don't necessarily even have to go outside to get from some of these hotels to the convention center. Well, I'm actually, I shouldn't say surprised, but I guess in a way I'm kind of surprised because the response from the people of God has been so big to this that I'm happily surprised that we're now running out of rooms. So what should people do if they're listening right now?
Well, the first thing you should do is learn more about the National Eucharistic Congress if you don't know what it is. And again, easiest way to do that, go to relevantradio.com or go to the Relevant Radio app. And if you tap on it on the app or click on there on the website, it'll take you to a landing page where you have two options. You can either learn more. That's the button where you can click that and you can find out more about the Congress. There's also a button there that says book now, and that will allow you to fill out your information. It'll send it off to Nativity Pilgrimages so that they can get back to you as soon as they can and get you that kind of customized package. And, you know, we're talking about the nuts and bolts of traveling here, Patrick, but really this is about being able to gather with Catholics from around the country and be able to participate in something that is just a once in a generation opportunity to gather together here and have such a strong focus on our Lord Jesus present in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm looking at it right now and I can see the, so there's a section called Lock in My Spot, as you were saying, and there you've got the different options. And just to kind of reiterate what you're saying, there are some people, I guess, who don't want to go overnight. They live in the area or they've got relatives or what have you. So they're looking for something other than just the full-blown package. There are packages available for them, right? People who want to come in for the day or something.
That's a really good point, too. You know, if you have a place that you can stay on your own, maybe you can only make it in for the weekend. Those are options as well. You could just get your ticket through Relevant Radio rather than have a whole ticket travel package, you know, with all the different things that are available. But I would encourage you, if you do have your own place to stay in Indianapolis or the surrounding area, if all you need is that ticket to get in the door to the National Eucharistic Congress, do that with Relevant Radio, because That gives you a chance to be connected to relevant radio in a way that other people won't, including Father Rocky has a brand new book that we're going to give anybody who gets a ticket with relevant radio. It's called Treasures of the Eucharist. You'll be able to sit with the group that has traveled, all the hundreds of people that will be there that have said, yeah, I want to be part of the relevant radio group. You'll have other opportunities and some special things, some special perks mm-hmm. that'll be there because you've traveled with relevant radio.
Oh, that's great. I like that. I know we have to get going here for a break, but I've heard other people say that they're coming to the Congress for any other reason than Jesus. But one of the perks that you mentioned is they'll get a chance to see some of our programs live, because we're going to be doing our programs, Drew and I and some of the other programs. So for those who are, I mean, you want to put Jesus first, obviously.
Obviously.
But if you have any interest in seeing the show done live, you'll get a chance to see that too.
Yeah, you'll get a chance to finally meet Drew, Patrick.
You know what? I've heard of that guy. For the longest time, I had never heard of him. Then I heard of him. So now I'll get to meet him. That's great. Love it. Thanks, Josh.
All right. Thanks, Patrick.
This hour is supported by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Join the nation's largest Catholic-oriented credit union and receive $200 when you add a direct deposit. Learn more at NotreDameFCU.com/join. That's NotreDameFCU.com/join.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
All right, let's get back to the phones. The number is 888-914-9149, sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Start with Michael in Edmonton, Canada. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Hi. So I called in on some advice, and
okay.
I guess I'm going through something I've never gone through before, and it's just it's a bit of a crisis moment.
Okay. What's
in
happened?
Terms of there's a lot happening. I guess I'll narrow it down to. It's a potential relationship that I feel like I possibly ruined.
Uh-oh.
Through
what happened?
A bit of a crisis. Well, I mean, we were chatting and we met.
Family relationship, romantic relationship, marriage?
Romantic, right? Like,
okay.
Yeah, it's, so I've been divorced and had my marriage annulled for a few years, and so dating through Catholic Match, so
okay.
You know what,
okay.
Met somebody. We had a strong connection. We met up on Saturday and felt like things went well. And then yesterday I panicked. I don't know why. I've never had this happen before. And then I wanted to communicate to her that there, I just was, just because we were texting and I knew that I was struggling with my mindset, and
okay.
So I was kind of communicating with her, trying to hold back, but then she was asking me questions, and you know, I'm just really confused and very frustrated.
Can I ask you a few questions, Michael, that will help me understand better?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yes.
So how old are you, by the way?
I'm 50.
Okay. And married before Catholic, I presume?
I was married in a Catholic wedding to an agnostic.
Okay. Well, what I meant was, sorry, I meant, are you Catholic?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay. Any children?
Yes, two.
Okay. And they're probably young adults by now?
They're 8, closer to 19 and 16.
Okay. But they're not little kids that you have to take care of?
They're not little kids. No, they're very independent.
Gotcha. Okay, fair enough. Thank you. So when you're having the interaction with the lady on Catholic Match, you said that you panicked. What did that look like? What did you do that panicked, or did you? What happened?
Well, it was weird. It was like I felt like I'm not deserving of something good. In a weird, deep level, like that. So
what did you do?
I felt like. What did I do, like, on Sunday?
No. What I mean is you said that you were texting with her and then you panicked. What did you do that would manifest the panic?
It just welled up in me.
Maybe, I'm sorry, I'm not asking the question the right way. Was there a blow-up? Did she suddenly stop texting you? Did you say something inappropriate? Was there something that happened, or is it just you're trying to deal with the emotion?
Yeah. I just became overwhelmed with, I guess, a fear or a, there was no incident. We did meet up on Saturday. It went well.
Okay.
And then, and I drove a significant distance back home and got to bed late and then woke up late yesterday morning. And then once I started thinking about, okay, how is this going to progress, I just panicked, and then I feel like I ruined it with my interaction with her throughout the day.
Well, so that's what I'm driving at. What happened in your interaction with her? Either what did you do, or what was her reaction? What is it that you're thinking? Oh gosh, I really messed up. What was that?
I just was starting to feel like. This is either a make or break in terms of my mindset with this woman, potentially. We've expressed both that we feel a pretty strong connection.
Okay.
And
what I mean, though, Michael, what did you do? Did you suddenly start crying? Did you get angry? Did you blurt out something inappropriate? Did you freeze up? Were you awkward? I mean, what happened that would make you feel this way?
I guess I was silent, like, because we live in different cities, and I wasn't really communicating with her, like, in texting. And then I just felt this weird urge to say, this is what started it, is I just said, something is wrong with me. And, I mean, I don't even know why I shared that with her, because she didn't know that I'm going through this panic stage. She had no clue. And then one thing led to another, where she's saying, well, what's wrong? And I wasn't able to explain it. Because it's never happened before, and I'm going through a panic moment, and then eventually, I shared with her that I'm afraid to make a decision, and move forward. I didn't really say move forward, but I just am, and I was articulating it about as well as I am with you right now, which is to say poorly. I don't know. I just knew something was wrong with me in terms of. Like, why am I not just appreciating this moment for what it is and the potentiality for this potential relationship for what it is? Why am I questioning it? Why am I going through this crisis right now and fearing my future with this woman or potential future, which, again, now I feel like I probably ruined it.
Well, how did it end up?
I did share something.
Did it end on a sour note?
It did not, no. I did share some pretty big insecurities with her, which is, it's probably too much too soon. And my, you know, a pretty severe fear of rejection.
All right. Well, I have a couple thoughts here, Michael. First of all, I'm really sorry that you had this bump in the road. I'm sure it's very disconcerting for you, but it's not insurmountable. Yeah. And maybe without letting her know, I don't see a value in letting her know this. Why don't you get signed up with a counselor and work through this, talk through this, 2-3 sessions, 4 sessions, whatever you think you need. It could be longer, but I mean, it may not have to be that long. And figure out what is this strange blockage. Get that sorted. and then just continue with your interactions with this lady and see where it leads.
I am doing that. And she actually recommended that I call into this show, so she could very well be listening right now.
Ah, okay. So, fair enough. Well, I like that level of honesty. The reason I said you don't have to mention it to her is because it would be for you something that you want to work on to make sure you're 100%, and why burden her with this, you know, information. Be like, let's say you had a lot of lower back pain or something like that. Well, you don't have to burden her with the information about your doctor visits or things. I mean, you get it sorted out and you move on. So this sounds like you already have the solution in mind then, right? Is that what you're planning to do?
Yeah. Okay. I hope it's a solution.
Yeah. Well, there's a song, you probably are familiar with it, 38 Special, Hang On Loosely. Familiar with that song?
I'm sorry. I might recognize it if I heard it.
Yeah, here it is. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to leave you with that thought. You know, hang on. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, Michael. Listen to the song and then maybe fire it up on your phone and listen to the whole thing. It's not, you know, the wisdom of the ages at all, but there is a certain truth to that. You know, hold on loosely, do the right thing, and hopefully things will move in the right direction. That's my hope. Thanks, Michael. Hang in there. Today, we'd like to thank Viviana, who is listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. That's elegant. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Ooh, I like this, Cyrus. Where do you find these?
one of my buddies sends this to me at the weirdest hours of the night.
He's got good taste in music.
He does have good. I'll give him that. He does have good taste in music. I just have this written down. This is from some show on Cinemax called Warrior. That's all I know. I've never seen the show. I don't know what it's about. But the song was presented to me, and I was like, I think that works very well.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Well, thank you for that. Appreciate that. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Sylvia now in Chicago. Hi, Sylvia.
Hello. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
I would like a recommendation from you, please. We are traveling to the Phoenix, Scottsdale, Cave Creek area of Arizona. And obviously we're going to be there during the weekend. Sunday, we'd love to attend Mass. And I'm asking for a church that we can attend, a traditional conservative Catholic church in that area.
There are many, many good churches in the Diocese of Phoenix. So, I mean, I would have to give you a long list, but one that comes to mind is St. Bernadette's Parish in Scottsdale. It's an excellent parish.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, this is not to say that there aren't many other excellent parishes. There certainly are. But I'm familiar with St. Bernadette's, and I know the pastor there, Father Don Klein. The church itself is just a treasure house of beauty. You really have to see it to believe it. It's incredibly beautiful. And if you want a feast for your eyes as well as your soul, I would go to check it out. Go to St. Bernadette's Parish and maybe go to Mass there and start there.
Perfect. Yeah, coming from Chicago, we're very wary. We have to be very intentional on where we attend Mass. And that's just how it is here. So whenever we travel, a recommendation would be good. So thank you.
You're welcome, Sylvia. I know that you'll enjoy this beautiful parish at St. Bernadette's Parish in Scottsdale, Arizona. Say hi to Father Don for me when you go there. Let's go to Martin now in Glenside, Pennsylvania. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Patrick. Hi, Cyrus. I was seeing if you could give me some advice on this wedding situation that I'm in.
Sure.
Situation is my cousin, who is a fallen away Catholic, is marrying a fallen away Catholic in a Catholic church. And I know he is, I'm pretty sure he's an atheist, because last Easter, this just like, you know, 2 weeks ago, he openly mocked me for believing in what he calls the flying spaghetti monster. And, another issue with the wedding is I know he is having his sister, who is in an openly homosexual relationship. He's going to have her be the best man.
Okay, let's pause right there. So
yeah,
it sounds like a cast of characters here. So they're having their wedding at a Catholic church, even though neither he nor she are actually Catholic anymore?
Correct. They were only baptized Catholic and probably received their sacraments. I can't speak for her so much, but I know he doesn't believe.
Okay. Well, you know, it's an odd thing, but belief isn't necessary for them to have a validly celebrated marriage. Ideally, of course, they should be believers because they're entering into a sacrament, but it won't have its spiritual benefit to them if they're both in the state of mortal sin. But in any case, at least he's getting married in the Catholic Church. That's a good thing. So really, it's a matter of the pastor who should step in and say, I'm sorry, you cannot have a woman masquerading as a man as your best man. That's not going to happen. Now, maybe he will blow his stack and say, well, I'm out of here. I'm not going to, all right, whatever. You know, have a nice eternity. But if the pastor is, I mean, the pastor should be the one who says, no, you're not going to do that. You don't have to have a best man per se. You have to have witnesses, but you're not going to have a lesbian woman acting as the best man. That's something that the parish priest should say and do.
Hello? What if, I'm here. I'm just trying to think, like, what if it's, if he's going to let it happen? Like, should I just not attend, or should I say something to him?
You know, if the priest doesn't have the backbone to say, no, this is ridiculous, you're not going to do this, then if it happens, I wouldn't want to be there to see that personally. I mean, you could still go to the reception and have some cake and dance and celebrate, I guess, but that the issue of the lesbian best man is something that the pastor rightfully should handle. First of all, your cousin is the one who shouldn't have proposed it in the first place because it's ludicrous.
Right.
But since he did, it falls to the parish priest to say, no, we're not doing that, and let the chips fall. And if he says, well, we're not going to have them, okay, fine. That frees up the weekend for another couple. Have a nice eternity.
Right.
But as for you, I mean, if he's already sounds like he's derogatory toward you from what you said, doesn't sound like a very pleasant person to be around. So are you going just for family togetherness sake, or are you going because there'd be some good food at the reception, or, you know?
Family togetherness, I think this is already pulling the family apart. I don't know. That's probably about it. He's never been bad to me until recently. Like, I've always had a good relationship with him, but we recently were talking about God's existence, and I said I'm of the opinion that there is a creator who created this wonderful universe, and he said, oh, well, you know, I believe in the flying spaghetti monster then.
Say to him, well, then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have much tolerance for that. I'm not trying to get in your business, but you know, if somebody wants to be like that, who am I to stop them? But, I mean, all I can say, Martin, is what's your tolerance threshold? I mean, if they're getting married in a Catholic church, they're going to technically be getting validly married, assuming that they, you know, annulments or past marriages or anything like that, assuming that they're eligible. Mm-hmm. So it's really a matter of what's your tolerance. And if you can tolerate obnoxiousness, great. Go have a good time. If you can't, I wouldn't blame you. If you said, you know what, I'm not going to be at the wedding, but I'll be at the reception.
Okay. One more thing about it. What about if I know that he's not really a believer and it's going to be a mass and he's going to be receiving, I'm assuming that he's going to receive the Blessed Sacrament. Should I say something to him? I mean, I feel kind of obligated to at least.
Yeah.
Because he openly mocked me, you know.
Yeah, I would. I would. That way you have, so we have the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy. One of the spiritual works of mercy is to admonish the sinner. And so you can, in a straightforward, matter of fact, tell the truth, speak the truth in love way, just say, FYI, you either should regain your faith in the Lord and go to confession before you get married, or, and it's going to look weird, but, or at your wedding, don't receive Holy Communion.
Right.
Probably true for her too, because yeah. It's, you know, even if you don't believe in God, it's still a sacrilege and it's creating all kinds of spiritual damage to you. So, you know, this is the fact of the matter. You could cite 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the second half of the passage where St. Paul warns about this. And then right. Then it's on him. And the reason I say that you should do it, I would do it if I were you, is so that you don't look back later and say, I wish I had said something. I don't right. like to live with regrets. I already have a few that I have. I want to minimize regrets as much as possible. So this way, you'll never look back with a regret and say, oh, why didn't I say something, you know?
Got it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, I hope it turns out okay. And, you know, if he's willing to call in and chat with me, I'd be happy to give him a respectful audience, you know, the audience that listens. But, I mean, we can discuss his hang-ups about God, and maybe there's a breakthrough here. Maybe there's an upside. Maybe he will get his head screwed on straight. I hope so. I really do.
I will definitely encourage that of him. Okay. Could I ask the best listeners in the entire world for a quick prayer intention?
Sure.
My wife and I have been trying to conceive for a couple of years, and I know if I have these listeners praying for us, you know, that's all the graces are going to come in.
We will certainly ask God to grant you this desire of your hearts, that he would bless you with children.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen to that. You got it.
Martin. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I hope that there's a happy ending here for this relationship with your cousin. Doesn't sound like it's too far gone, but yeah, I hope there's a happy ending there. Thank you for that. Let's see if we can get to Mike.
You know, if you want a baby, mm-hmm. don't say maybe. Go on the walk to Mary with Father Rocky,
you know,
and Relevant Radio.
That's a thought, because there are couples who bring that intention with them to the walk to Mary, and
we
lo
have
and behold,
walked. Yeah, we have yeah. walked to Mary babies. So
that is great.
Just around 9 months after the walk to Mary,
love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Love it. Okay, well, that's great. Thank you, Cyrus. Good point. Let's see if we have time to get to Mike in San Diego. We'll try. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Patrick. So the gist of it is, I had mentioned to my sister, who's a Protestant, that she might want to do an anointing of the sick prior to a procedure she's going to have. And she mm-hmm. just said she'd think about it. So,
well, she can't.
That's been bothering. Right.
Because in order to receive that sacrament, I mean, outside of some extreme circumstance, doesn't sound like she's in an extreme circumstance. If she were dying from a car accident and the priest came along and asked her if she'd been baptized, yes, would you like to receive the sacraments? There are situations where the priest could do that. This doesn't seem to be one of them, though.
Okay, I didn't realize that. But nonetheless, it bothered me, and I brought it back up to her later because she just said she'd think about it. Mm-hmm. And so I told her, I said, you know, there are powers in the sacraments. They're real things. They're not symbols. Yeah. And she was calling them rituals. And so ultimately, I went to the Eucharist and I said, here's an example. There's Eucharistic miracles that have been proven in our times, and there's no other explanation except for what it is. And we know that the Spirit of Christ is in the Eucharist, in the consecrated host. So I went down that path, and ultimately her response to just about everything was, you know, I don't know her faith. She loves Christ and he's in her heart, and why does she need anything else? And you've answered this question probably 1,000 times, but I was just stumped and I didn't know what to say to that. And that's the gist, and that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, I have a few thoughts on that, Mike. So stand by and I'll come back to you right after this quick timeout. And if anyone listening right now wants to be part of the program, call this number, 888-914-9149. If you get a busy signal, and you might, just hit redial, 888-914-9149.